Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2022 Youth Education Conference held in Morristown, Tennessee.
Today, I have three goals that I want you to take away from today. First of all, you can do hard things. Second, you were divinely created to do your hard things. And third, you can prepare now for the hard things that will come. So first, we can do hard things. I have a helper over here, my son, Stephen. He's going to lift some weights for us. Okay, so Stephen has been lifting weights for years. And over the last year, he's been lifting weights with a mentor. So I want you to think about, as he puts these next weights on, what's actually happening to his muscles as he lifts these weights. So before you start, tell everybody how much is on that.
315.
So this is 315 pounds. What's your max that you've ever lifted?
On a hex bar, 405.
405.
On conventional bar, 365.
365. Okay, go ahead. It's hard to start and just immediately lift big weights.
Well, usually I take like 2 to 3 minute breaks. We're not going that heavy.
So those of you who have done any kind of anatomy, what happens, what's going on with Stephen's muscles right there? So that was awesome. So his muscles are being tested, they're being tried, and they're actually being torn. And then when they grow back stronger. So I'm a believer that there are lots of things on this earth today that are types and shadows or examples spiritually. So I think lifting weights is a great example of what we go through here on earth. We're tested, we're tried, sometimes we're torn a little bit, but we grow back stronger, and that's the whole idea. So lifting weights is supposed to be heavy, it's supposed to be hard, it's supposed to be difficult. If it wasn't difficult, what would happen? If we were doing easy things all the time, Miriam, what would we be? Wusses! We would all be wusses if we were doing things easy. So we have to do hard things. We have to lift weights to build strength. We have to lift weights more than just physically. We have to figuratively lift weights throughout life. Okay, so I looked up the definition of wuss. Okay, and it says weak, cowardly, and here's my favorite, ineffectual. If we are wusses, we are ineffectual. We are not effective. Imagine going on a hike, and you're hiking, and you're hiking, and you're hiking, and you get nowhere. You just keep hiking, and you never go anywhere. Wouldn't that be horrible? So I like to look at life also as a great long hike, a great glorious hike. You're hiking along. Sometimes it's pretty easy. Sometimes it's pretty steep. Sometimes it's pretty rocky. Sometimes it opens up and you have great views. Sometimes you reach an incredible waterfall or a stream. But you have to keep hiking and go through those hard times to be able to get to the beauty. So because nobody wants to be a wuss, what do we have to do to gain strength? How do we get strength? So when you go back, this gets to my second thing I want you to remember today. What is the first lesson we learn in primary?
A child of God.
I am a child of God. That's perfect. We are. We are all children of God. I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. Okay, you are a child of God. You are amazing. The God of the universe. The God that organized the planets. Set them into motion. The God that created the seasons and the weather systems and patterns. The God that created and organized all things great and all things small created you. And he endowed you with divine and uniquely you gifts that you will need to succeed in your hard things. I'm going to say that one more time. He endowed you with the divine and uniquely you gifts that you will need to succeed at your hard things. So are you amazing?
Yes.
Absolutely. Or maybe you're incredible.
Yes.
Or fabulous. Or fantastic. Or awesome. Or wonderful. Or superlative. The thing is, you get to choose. You get to choose your divine adjective. Okay? So I'm going to tell you about when I chose that I was amazing. So we're all amazing or incredible, whatever you choose. I was always amazing, but sometimes when hard things come along, you forget a little bit. So I chose to remember, and I chose to remember when I was doing some hard things. So everybody goes through different hard things. Everybody's hard things are unique. My hardest thing was being a mom. Being a mom can be really, really hard. Okay, and I have 5 children, and nobody prepares you for toddlers. We can talk about toddlers, but nobody quite prepares you for some toddlers. And my oldest son, so my 2 younger boys are here, my oldest son, Nicholas, was quite the toddler. And I'll tell you a few little stories. When he was little, I used to have to lock him in his room just to get a little bit of a break so that he would be there and not destroying everything in the house. When one time, I was sitting at my computer desk taking deep breaths, because that's what we do with a mom sometimes, and he walked in the front door. He'd been locked in his room. At 3 years old, he opened his window, climbed out the door, walked around the house, came in the front door and smiled and said, "Hi, Mom." This is also the little boy that at not even 2 years old would pull the glass bulbs off the Christmas tree, and he'd bite them and lick them. His mouth would be bleeding. He'd put his fingers in them and play with them, and all of his fingers would be bleeding. And I would take him all away, clean him up, and he would do it again. It's also the boy that, while I was trying to potty train him, got creative. So one time, his older sister came running into the room and said, "Mom, Mom, Nick peed on my purple dress." I'm looking at her, and she's in the purple dress. He was standing on the dresser, peeing off the dresser, onto his sister in the purple dress. There was another time, my other daughter, I was doing her hair, and I was brushing her hair, and I grabbed the spray bottle to brush her hair, and I looked in the spray bottle. It was no longer water. All right. When this boy was about 7, we got him a Leatherman, but it intentionally had no knives. It had screwdrivers and bottle openers, those kinds of things. It was just a little kid's Leatherman. Well, he came running down the stairs and he says, "Mom, Mom, it bit me, it bit me." I said, "What bit you?" So I walked upstairs and he had used his Leatherman to take the cover off the outlet and take the outlet out of the wall before it actually shocked him. So it bit him. He also liked to build fires. It was close, but it was not terribly successful at this point. But I found a board between the car and the house with this whole little setup for this fire. He thought he was being safe. It had rocks around it. Isn't that what we do when we build a fire? Put rocks around it, just not right at the house. So I caught him right as he was lighting that one. So that was lucky. We were trying to decide how to discipline this boy. And we decided that timeouts weren't working, spankings weren't working. We didn't know what to do, so we decided to go physical training. So he would be bad, he would do jumping jacks, or froggy squats, or wall sits, those kinds of things. One night, I just had enough. I was trying to go to bed. It had been 2 hours that I was trying to get this boy to bed, and I was tired. My husband was working nights, and I told him, I said, "If you get out of your bed one more time, you are going to do 1,000 jumping jacks." And guess what? He got out of his bed. And I had to make him do 1,000 jumping jacks. I let him take 3 deep breaths after each 100 jumping jacks, but he still did 1,000 jumping jacks and went back to bed. But guess what? He got out of bed again. And he did another 1,000 jumping jacks. He was in really good shape. When he went to boot camp, he had no issues at all. So this was my hard thing. It was during this time I was feeling like a failure. I wasn't feeling amazing. I was starting to let Satan's lies of being a failure get in my head instead of the divinity of "you're amazing" be in my head. So let me tell you another quick story. One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. "Dear one, the battle between 2 wolves is inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about this for a moment and then asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? The old Cherokee replied, the one you feed. So if this is going on in our minds, what are we feeding? Are we feeding the you're a failure, or are we feeding the you're amazing? So what's in our thoughts when we're going through hard times? What do we say to ourselves? Each of us is unique and we deserve an adjective. What is yours? I want you to stop for a minute and think. What is your adjective? What are you? What can you tell yourself when your hard times come? I'm a big believer that the Spirit will whisper that to you. If it hasn't come to you already, it will, especially if you ask. He will tell you where to go when you have hard times. And what the name that you can name your wolf that will win your divine adjective will be. Nobody else can tell you this. Nobody else can take it away from you. It is something that you believe, that you know for you, no matter what hard time comes along. So there are days where it's hard to believe. One of my favorite quotes is, some days I'm amazing, and some days I put my laundry in the oven. Another one that just, it tweaked a little bit a few weeks ago, and it became this. Some days I'm amazing, and some days I make banana nut muffins without bananas. So, the other day, well, it was a couple years ago, actually, I went to the gym, and I got there, and I realized I had two different shoes on. So I could decide right there to be embarrassed, feel stupid, go home and think, wow, you can't even put the right shoes on. Or I could say, and I texted my husband, I'm so amazing. Look what I did today. It takes really amazing to do this, and took a picture of my two shoes and sent it to him. So we have to decide in those hard times what we're going to tell ourselves and what we're going to believe. And we can choose to laugh over the things that we do that are sometimes silly, sometimes dumb, sometimes downright stupid, or we can choose to remind ourselves of our divinity. So I think that the Spirit plays a huge role in this. We have the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost who helps us along this divine path. And another one of my favorite quotes is by Parley P. Pratt. And he said about the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost quickens all the intellectual faculties, increases, enlarges, expands, and purifies all the natural passions and affections, and adapts them, by the gift of wisdom, to their lawful use. It inspires, develops, cultivates, and matures all the fine-toned sympathies, joys, tastes, kindred feelings, and affections of our nature. It inspires virtue, kindness, goodness, tenderness, gentleness, and charity. It develops beauty of person, form, and features. It tends to health, vigor, animation, and social feeling. It invigorates all the faculties of the physical and intellectual man. It strengthens and gives tone to the nerves. In short, it is, as it were, marrow to the bone, joy to the heart, light to the eyes, music to the ears, and life to the whole being. We become celestial beings through the gift of the Holy Ghost. He will refine us and help us define our divinity. So, we were talking earlier about laughing when hard things come. A talk was given by Joseph B. Worthlin years ago, and he talked about a time when he was younger and he lost a game. I don't remember if it was a football game or a soccer game. He lost this game and he was really upset. He went to his mom and his mom said, come what may and love it. And that was the name of the talk, come what may and love it. And he talked about how he used that throughout his life, and he talked about a few different reasons or things that he used when it came down to come what may and love it and how to do that. And the one that I liked the most was learn to laugh. If we learn to laugh at the dumb things we do and learn to laugh at when we make mistakes instead of giving in to Satan's lies of being a failure, and we learn to just laugh and remember our divinity, we will go a long way. He told a story about his daughter. and his daughter had a blind date that she was going on. And a gentleman came to the door, picked up the daughter, left, and then the daughter got out of the car a couple minutes later, came back in the house because her sister was supposed to babysit. And that gentleman had come to pick up her sister to babysit, not her, for her blind date. And they laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed over it, which is something we could be pretty embarrassed about. And then when the blind date did come, Elder Worthland didn't even get to meet the blind date because he's still in the kitchen laughing. So I thought I would try this out as a mom. I was like, okay, I'm going to laugh. Next time I'm feeling like I want to scream, I'm going to laugh. Well, something came up and somebody did something and I was frustrated, so I just laughed. And my daughter started bawling and crying. She thought I was laughing at her. So you have to pick the right moments to laugh. Make sure you're not laughing at other people, but it helps to just laugh. We all love to laugh. We all feel better laughing versus crying. All right, so back to where we're at. Spiritual gifts. We can develop these spiritual gifts, but how? So that brings me to the third thing we're talking about. How do we develop these gifts? How can we prepare now for those hard things that will come? So, Stephen, come back up here for a minute. What do you do to physically prepare to lift weights?
Play music.
What else?
And just, it's like a whole nother zone. You have to just, like, when I go, I'm like just repeating to myself, it's going up, don't let it go down, pretty much.
Okay. What else? Before you even go to the gym, what do?
Take creatine.
Okay, so you take some supplements.
Yeah.
You go there. Is there, what else do you, what do you wear?
Depends on what I'm doing. But I'm doing deadlifts. I just wear usually something I'm not going to tear when I go down.
Okay. What about protection?
Usually I wear shin guards, but I didn't bring them, and so...
Okay, so there's a physical preparation that has to take place. You can't just walk in and pick up 365 pounds.
You can, but you're going to hurt yourself.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So, Stephen prepared to lift weights physically, but there is a spiritual preparation for the spiritual things that we do, just as much as the physical things we do. So, another story. 10 virgins. How many of you have heard the story of the 10 virgins? How many of you have had the thought, like what I had, that they were being selfish? Why didn't they share? Because when I first heard the story, I was thinking, well, that's rude. Why don't they just share? We're all taught to share, right? Well, a lot of the parables that we read in the scriptures are symbolic of other things. This has a spiritual connotation to it, not just a physical. So, they can't share. We're going to talk about why they couldn't share. Okay. Can I go lift 365 pounds that Stephen has put down here when, I'm sorry, 315 pounds that Stephen's lifted if I didn't prepare ahead of time? If I didn't take the supplements and practice and put on the right clothing, could I just go in there and take it? Can I use his physical preparation? No. So can we use other people's spiritual preparation? The story of the 10 virgins teaches us that we have to prepare ourselves. So I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to warn you now, I'll probably cry. One of my best friends, years ago, her and her husband went through one of the hardest things that parents have to go through. So 2 years ago, their son, Cade, was on a school trip. He was in the automotive department he's in high school, but they would go to the college, to the automotive department, for a class that was giving them college credit. And they were on a field trip to Phoenix. And on the way home, late at night, one of the vans went off the road, rolled, and 3 of those boys were killed that night. Including my best friend's boy, Cade. Cade was just a little older than Stephen. He was the age of my older daughter, Miranda. They grew up playing together. We actually got the message while we were on our way to the Philadelphia Temple that he had been killed in that accident. So, my friend was in a situation she never thought she would be in or ever wanted to be in. But there were three moms that night that lost their sons. Some of them were spiritually prepared and some of them were not. One of the moms was not a member. One was a part member family. And my other friend had been a member of the church from the time she was little and had been putting oil in her lamp because she had that knowledge. Those other moms were struggling. They were struggling really hard. And my friend, as much as she wanted to share the oil that was in her lamp and give them some of her faith and some of her knowledge about where those boys were, she couldn't. And it was hard for her that she could not share her oil. She could tell them how she got that oil, what she believed in, and where that strength came from, but she could not. One of those moms ended up in a hospital because she couldn't cope. She could no longer take care of her other children or her husband because she didn't have any oil in the lap. She had no faith. She didn't know where he was. She didn't know what was going to come next. So as much as we want, preparation is personal. We can't share it. Even if we want to, we cannot share our personal preparation with others. We can teach them to find their own. We can tell them our success stories in finding our own. But we cannot share our oil. So preparing becomes very personal and very important. So how do we prepare? How do we prepare for those hard, hard things? During the keynote address yesterday morning, Adeline Bates talked about a kite and about how the kite's soaring. But what keeps the kite down? The anchor. Our anchor is Christ. If we keep our anchor on Christ, if we think of him, talk of him, rejoice in him, and have that anchor and have him holding our kite string, that is our number one key to staying prepared. But we can also choose other things. We can choose. That's one of the coolest things about life, is the agency we get and the choices that we get to make. To be a chosen people is not because God picked people out and said, you know what, I like you better than everybody else. We are a chosen people because of the choices we make every day. So, Stephen, come back up here.
Yeah, go Stephen.
Stephen has been physically preparing to lift weights. But Stephen also... Sorry. He gets his wisdom teeth out on Tuesday because he gets to turn his mission paperwork in next week. So he's been doing more than just physical preparation. What kind of spiritual preparations have you been doing to prepare for your mission?
Mission prep classes and then a lot of scripture study because, I mean, you're given time in the NTC, but it's better to go in knowing a lot more in the scriptures. So you can't just learn from it once at a time. So a lot of scripture study, prayers, and mission prep classes.
Perfect. Thank you. You can sit back down. All right. So Stephen's been doing some spiritual preparation for his mission. But I want to tell you one of the things about Stephen that was different than Nick. Now, I love my Nick. I love him with all my heart. But there was one thing I saw that was different. They were both taught the same. But the difference I saw was every morning, Nick would get up and run. And Stephen would get up and say his prayers and make his bed. And every night, Stephen would say his prayers. And those little choices led to a significant difference at where these boys were at 18 years old. So I'm going to tell you, by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. Saying your prayers seems like a simple thing, but it will make a significant difference in choosing divinity. Reading your scriptures, again, seems like a simple thing, but it will make a significant difference in choosing divinity. Anchor on Christ, do the small and simple things, and you will be reminded of your divinity. And you will be ready to lift the heavy weights. So I love the Book of Mormon. I love it. it got me through really hard times as a mom. Because as a mom, when I was really struggling and feeling like a failure, I went to my husband, totally frustrated, with the Book of Mormon in my hand, and I threw it on the bed, and I said, they say that all the answers are right here, then where does it tell me how to be a good mom? And he was a little bit taken back, and said, well, maybe you should try and look up the attributes of a good mom. So I started studying the Book of Mormon, and I was looking up the attributes and different things about what I thought a good mom would be. And I didn't find any aha moments for a long time. But what I did find is doing those small and simple things, the Spirit was starting to whisper ideas to me and give me help. And when I was looking at my little Nicholas and I was ready to just scream, I saw the words charity written across his forehead. So I went to my bathroom and I got an eyeliner and I came out and I wrote charity on his forehead. And then I went to my other little one and I wrote love. And I put a little heart on another kid so that when I looked at them, I would remember their divinity as well, and be a little bit more patient. So even though there wasn't great ahas at that time in the scriptures, I have found them later, I was still receiving help from the Spirit. The Spirit wants to help us. We just have to remember our divinity and let him in. Where in the scriptures I did find help at one time was in the Book of Mormon, and I had read it so many times. I was a teenager. I had been through seminary. I had read it. I had heard the story of Nephi building a boat so many times. But this time as a mom, when I read it, and it said in there that he did not know how to build a ship, that he couldn't build it after the manner of men, because I didn't want to raise my family after the manner of men, and that he went to the mount oft for guidance, I knew that's what I needed to do as a mom. I needed to go to the Lord often for guidance, and that he would help me through my hard things. And so I love the Book of Mormon, especially the war chapters. I love the war chapters in the Book of Mormon. A lot of people struggle with them. A lot of people skip them. But I felt like I was raising little warrior spirits. And so we talked about the war chapters with the kids, and we read them. And one of my favorite things, talking about preparation, was in Alma 48, when Moroni was fighting with Captain Moroni, and they were fighting the Lamanites. And Amalickiah was taking his time to prepare by obtaining power through fraud and deceit. But Moroni, on the other hand, was building forts and banks and preparing, strengthening his armies and doing all of these physical preparations. However, in the scriptures, before it talks about any of those physical preparations, it says that he first was preparing the minds of the people to be faithful to the Lord. Preparing the minds of the people to be faithful to the Lord. We can prepare our minds to be faithful to the Lord and prepare for the hard things that will come. Preparation brings success. It refines our divinity and our divine identity. So, you've got what it takes. Never give up. Both of these were in my grandma's family history room or office growing up, both of these posters, and I loved them. So never give up. It doesn't matter how hard you think it's going to be. You've got what it takes for your trial. Don't give up. So I want you to remember that you are truly amazing and that you can do hard things. You were divinely created to do your hard things, and you can prepare now for the hard things that will come, and that you are amazing. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.